What would it take to change careers where you are today? Have you considered it? Most of us have, and most of us have also considered it terrifying. So how would you navigate your way from where you are today to someplace better when it comes to making a living? I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today, and this is The Larry Mueller Show. Our guest is Lanice Runnels. She's a workforce director in Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington counties for the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. And if you've successfully changed careers before, we'd love to hear what it took and how you did it. And if you're considering it and have questions, well, ask our expert, Lanice Reynolds. Join our conversation at any time. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email to talk@wpr.org. And Lanice, welcome to The Larry Mueller Show.
Hi, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
And we're excited to have you because I don't know of anybody that hasn't at least considered, well, maybe there is a better place for me. Maybe there's a better fit. Maybe there's better money, better work-life balance, more happiness. But when you start thinking about it, it seems rather challenging to say the least. So if I were to consider changing careers, Lanice, where would I even begin?
Oh, thank you for that question. That is a powerful, powerful question because making a career change, it's a powerful step towards shaping the future that you want. So what I would do is I would start with reflecting with what truly matters to you. So look at your strengths, your interests, your values, your long-term goals. Also, I would ask myself a few questions. So if listeners are listening, write this down. Ask yourself what energizes you. Ask yourself, what skills do you really enjoy using? Also, look at what do people constantly tell you you're good at, or what do people constantly ask you to do? This self-reflection, that can be your roadmap. Once you have taken this time to, like, reflect, start exploring career options. Of course, I'm going to talk a lot about Job Center of Wisconsin, which is our exchange system that we use to post our jobs, and a whole bunch of other resources, right? Mm-hmm. So you can go to the Job Center of Wisconsin, and we have career exploration tools there. If you go there, there's something called Plan a Career. And when you click on that, there's information where you can explore different occupations, pathways, wages, training options, and so much more. This is a great, great place to start if you want to see what's available and discover what aligns with your goal. Also, I want to share that if you go to Job Center Wisconsin, you can also connect to Wisconomy, which is another space right on that website. And there you can see what careers are currently in high demand, what industries are growing, and then you can pair your passion with the data. Ooh. And that will help you make a confident decision because now you're not just, oh, I'm good at this, but is there jobs in that? What will align?
So the website for the Job Center of Wisconsin through the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is jobcenterofwisconsin.com. Pretty simple. Jobcenterofwisconsin.com. But we also have a link to it on our website. So if you need it later, you'll find it at wpr.org/Larry. And Lanice, you say three questions you need to answer for yourself. What energizes you? What skills you enjoy? And what you're good at? And I'll just use me as an example. Well, I'm good at talking. I've got people skills, but after that, I'm not sure about what else my skill set would be. If I think about what people tell me I'm good at, yeah, I've got people skills. I'm good at talking. But where do I turn when, you know, I've talked for 20 years on the radio, but wouldn't know where else to go where my talking might be of value?
Yeah, that is great. So sometimes, people get stuck and they're like, this is what I'm good at, and that's all I know. That's why we would use our career tools. So you can also use Skill Explorer, My Future, and all of this you can, again, I'm rattling this off, but you can find this on Job Center Wisconsin. In there, they are going to prompt you with some questions, right? They're going to ask you some things that you've done, and then based on that, they will output job titles that you could do. Now, of course, I tried this out myself because I can't just share a product and not have used it myself. And
sure.
So When I tried it out, it suggested like a funeral home director, just stuff that I would never think about, because what it is doing is it's showing you your transferable skills, right? And so we have a lot of transferable skills. You have leadership, you have organization, you have all these different things. And so those are good skills that is going to transfer to your next step of the journey. And sometimes, again, that's why we use these tools. That's why we stop in the job center to talk to someone else, because they can pull those things out of us. They can ask us those questions. We can use these tools, and then they can connect us to other possibilities that you may not even considered or understood, that, wow, I didn't know that I had that skill set, and maybe all it will take is additional trainings or some upskilling, but you would fit perfectly in that role. So again, it's really about taking the courage to speak about it, think about it, and to move forward, because that takes a lot of courage. And we have to remember that this is a process, right? It's not going to happen overnight. But if you're willing to do the work, you don't have to do it alone. That's what we're here for.
You don't have to do it alone. Lanice Reynolds, our guest, Workforce Director with the State Department of Workforce Development. And if you've got questions about careers, give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Work-life balance or just basic happiness, give us an email, talk@WPR.org. So, Lanice, I am over 50 now, and I wonder, is there an age where it is too late to change careers, or how do I figure out whether or not it's worth taking that risk so late in my work life?
It's never too late.
Never.
That's something that we hear a lot, and we're actually seeing a lot of mature workers or older workers come into our job centers or meet us at one of the access points or the libraries, and we're all around, right? And so you're never too old to start over. You have the experience, right? Mm. You have experience, you have wisdom, you have knowledge. The most important thing that employers are looking for is flexibility. Are you willing to be flexible? Are you willing to adapt? Are you willing to learn a new skill, right? So you have all of this knowledge and this experience. Now let's couple this with maybe your strongest point isn't technology. So how can we couple that with that and use that and really, really push forward? So there is no age limit on growth. If you have a growth mindset and you're willing to do it, you have something to add to the workforce. So I encourage people, don't allow your fear to stop you from moving forward, right? Your fear can fuel your purpose, right? And sometimes what happens is our identity is all caught up in the roles and the titles that we have.
Yes.
But guess what? Whether you have that current title or not, those skills and those experiences are still with you. You still harbor all of that. That's your inherited skill, and it's valuable. And someone needs it. There are employers looking for that. We have over 57,000 jobs posted right now on Job Center Wisconsin.
What was that number? Wait. Lanice, you said 57,000 jobs?
Yes. Yes. And so there are opportunities, and this is across the state of Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
And so there are opportunities for you. There is someone that is looking for your wisdom, your knowledge, your mentorship, right?
Oh.
So don't look at age as a disadvantage, but look at it as an opportunity to give back and to still have meaningful, purposeful conversation and contribution to the community.
But flexibility is key here. I did not think of, you know, whether or not I'm willing to or flexible enough to adapt mm-hmm. and learn. But you say that that is what employers are looking for.
Yes.
So are those 57,000 jobs, are they state jobs or jobs in the private sector? Are they across the board?
It's across the board, yes.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, people who are registered and vetted through our system, they're posting jobs. They're coming here. They're looking to post and looking for those connections. So
JobCenterOfWisconsin.com. Thank you, Lanice. And let's go to David in New Richmond. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Say, Lee, you'd mentioned your age, and it almost made me laugh. A friend of mine just passed away. He was 76. Just a few years ago, after retirement, he thought he wanted to be more involved, get some things done. and he saw an ad for a company that had looking for a salesman with the gift of gab. And they basically taught him how to use a tool to measure roofs. And he was very successful selling roofs around the western Wisconsin area.
And when did he make that career change? After retirement?
When he was 72.
Wow. Never too late.
Never.
I love that story, David, and thank you. So I've got a ways to go to get there from here. So it is some perspective worth having, David, and I appreciate that. So and what about...
And so I just want to say those are the kind of stories that we need to hear.
Yeah.
People need to hear and know that someone else did it, right? And so you're not alone even in that sense. There are other people who are in your age range, and guess what? They are looking and they are successful with it.
Well, we got a great question here from Dot in Manitowoc, so let's go there next. Dot, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. In the job interview, I would tell the potential employer, I would say, I am going to be on time. I'm not on drugs, and I'm not going to steal from you. That should put you on the top of the list for the job.
Dot, I appreciate that, but my concern was if I bring that up unsolicited, that they'd be like, well, why is he bringing that up unsolicited? Why is he telling us he's not on drugs? We pretty much figured that already, or assumed as much. Lanice, when you enter that job interview, I can think of a few things less. It is like a gauntlet that you are going through where you are being, you're being tested about who you are and why you are who you are. And when you enter that interview room, how can you find the edge or confidence to be able to express yourself in a way that shows them that you are flexible enough and willing enough to become a part of that team?
Oh, yes. Interviewing is so important. And what I want to say to the comment that was made is it is great to share that you're going to be on time and things of that nature. But anything that may have a negative feel to it, like I won't do drugs, they do drug testing and all that. So that's not something you have to mention. I think that it's important to just to share, you know, what you bring, what you provide. So your interview was the key. And obviously there was something on your interview that drawed them in to make them want to have a conversation with you. And a lot of times we're nervous in that. But we have to remember this is not an interrogation. This is a dialogue. This is a conversation. So we have to go in that mindset that this is not just about if they want me. This is also about am I a good fit for them? And so I think just that shift in that mindset will help set a good tone and pace that this is a dialogue for both of us to see how this will fit, how we will work together. But there's a trick that I use that I like to share too with everyone when interviewing. Remember these three things: head, heart, and feet. I'll say it again: head, heart, and feet. Yes.
The head and the heart, Lanice, I can kind of understand, but walk us through that and get to the feet, which I do not.
Okay, so head. We have to think about facts and data. So we have to get to their head, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's some people who are very like, what is the data? What are you saying? You're saying, oh, I manage files, but give me more data to that, you know? So research the company, prepare example answers, right? Mm-hmm. So we know typical questions that they may ask, prepare some answers and make sure you have the details with that. And so we like to use the STAR method, which is share the situation, the task, the action, and the results, right? And then know your own data. Be ready to speak to your qualifications, skills, certifications, and achievements. So that's the head. The head is get the facts and the data about the company and about you. Next, the heart. We want to make an emotional connection during this interview, right? Mm. It's not just about, yes, I can do it, but it's also about a culture fit and all that other stuff. So show that you are genuinely concerned and you're genuinely interested and care about the opportunity and the mission, right? Mm. Be authentic. Connect on values. Explain not just why you can do it, but why this role matters, right? Listen and engage. Again, this is a conversation. you're building a real human connection with the interview. Let your personality show. So that's the heart. And finally, the feet is we got to take action, right? Your feet help you move. So we have to do something. We can't just think about it, right? So practice. Practice what you want to say. Practice those answers that you're going to give with a friend in a car or whatever. You also, again, I'm going to keep promoting the Job Center Wisconsin. If you go on the Job Center Wisconsin, there is a link that shows our location so you can meet us there. You can do mock interviews with us. That way you can get some feedback and things of that nature. And also show with energy. Send a thank you letter. Remember, head, heart, and feet. Bring the facts, make a connection, and take actions. When these three come together, I think that helps you to do the interview well.
Lynice Runnels, our guest, Workforce Director in Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington Counties for the State Department of Workforce Development. And if you've got a story about changing careers or about questions about what it would take, Lynice has some answers for you, and you can join our conversation by calling 1-800-642-1234 or email us talk@WPR.org. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, and you're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today on The Larry Mueller Show. But if you're looking to listen to a little bit of Larry, go no further than WPR.org/Larry. Well, you'll find an archive of all of our recordings, all of our broadcasts from The Larry Mueller Show. Pick one you like and take a listen anytime online at WPR.org/Larry. Right now, we're talking to Lynice Runnels, a workforce director in our State Department of Workforce Development, about what it would take to change careers, how we can find a better work-life balance, and find a better living. And if you've got questions, 1-800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org. And Lynice, Jeff emailed us. He has a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science, and that led ultimately to a law degree. And he worked in banks and real estate. But what he really found was he liked working with kids. So he retrained as a teacher, which eventually led to a community center program director, 10 years in all. He says, be flexible, retrain if needed, pursue your passion, and never give up. When it comes, flexible, retrain, pursue your passion, never give up, got all of that except for, where would I go to retrain, Lynice?
Oh, that is a great, great question. So, again, I know you guys are going to get tired of me saying this, but
JobCenterWisconsin.com.
This is your hub, okay? Think of us as your emergency response team, okay? So we are there. We help people with this all the time. But literally, Job Center Wisconsin is the great place to go. Why? Because then you can look up what training options you have. So it depends on if you're currently laid off. It depends on different situations, but we can connect you to the WIOA program, which is a short-term training program. We also, there's apprenticeship, depending if you're eligible for DVR, there's opportunities that are there for you to reconnect, right? And so there is something there, but the first thing you have to do is be willing to connect, be willing to share, be willing to open up. That way you can see what pathways are available. You can see and make very intentional decisions about what will be right for you. Is it going back to school? Is it picking up a certificate? What will that look like going in person, virtually? So there's so many different options and there's so many different programs that are available that we definitely want to make sure that you're connected to. And again, I will say this over and over again, you don't have to do it alone.
Yeah.
We are here. This is what we do. This is what we specialize in. And we literally, the people who work here have the passion, right? The passion and the knowledge. And if they don't know, I'm telling you, they are going to research. They are going to find. They are going to get that information to you so that you are able to get that help. Also, if you're not able to stop in, there is virtual options where you can connect with us as well. So we have that layout for you because connecting to you and making those right connections, they're crucial to what we do, and we want to do that.
Lynice, when you were talking about how to prepare for a job interview and the three basics of head, heart, and feet, you mentioned the STAR method, and I think it's an acronym for something, but I didn't quite catch it, and I want to know what the STAR method is in case I need to use it. Lynice?
Yes. I'm sorry. Here I go. I had it on mute. But the STAR method, that stands for situation, task, action, and result. So You use that when they're asking you a question, say they're asking you a question about your leadership or they're asking you a question about your technology skills. You don't want to just say, I led a team, right? You want to say, well, what was the situation in which you led a team? What was that task that you did? And what was the action and what was the positive result of that? So you would do that with every question that they kind of ask. So you can prepare ahead, especially if you know you obviously will know the type of jobs that you're applying for. And if you've been on a few interviews, some of the questions are similar, right?
Yep.
So you can prepare for that. And another way to prepare that we encourage people is look at the job announcement. The job announcement is basically asking you a question, right? They're saying what they're looking for. They might say reliability, dependability, we need someone with computer skills, things of that nature. So you will go through that, look at what they're looking for, and then you practice, okay, how am I reliable? Well, at my last job, I had a perfect attendance record, worked there for over 3 years, right? Or never had issues. So for each thing that they're asking, how would you answer that? And prepare with that by doing the STAR method, situation, task, action, and result. And that will help you, you know, to be able to answer those questions in more detail so the employer can get a clearer picture, because all they have is the paper and then they have what you're saying. So it's so important that we communicate in a way that they can see our added value, that no, I don't just do the task, I excel in it.
I love that. The STAR method: situation, task, action, and result. An opportunity for you to present yourself fully in a job interview. But what about when it comes to resumes, Lanice? And I, the way I understand it now is that artificial intelligence may be entering into the resume game in a way that is not just helping to write resumes, but also helping to read resumes as well. So what does that mean for job seekers who are out there trying to find their next gig?
Yes, that's a great question, because we get them, you know, we get a lot of people who come into our centers or meet us out at the libraries and other places, and they need help with their resumes. Some people will come in and say, I've applied to all these places and no one is calling us back, calling me back. So the first step, if you're not getting any callbacks and you know that you are spending a lot of time applying, the first thing we would say, well, let's take a look at your resume, right? And so are you submitting the exact same resume for every single job, or are you tailoring that resume for that job that you're applying for? Sometimes that just means adjusting some of the skill sets to make sure that, okay, I didn't communicate that and I did do that and this job is asking about that. I want to make sure that I communicate that on the resume, because you have to remember the resume is what gets you in the door, and then you have time to explain in more details at the interview. But if you're not getting in the door, you know, we have to look at that resume. So what our team will do is they will spend time to go over your resume, give you some options, work with you, talk through that, and make sure that your resume is your voice. And so when you talk about AI, AI is a great tool. Yes, a lot of people are using it. I don't discourage the use of AI,
okay,
but I also encourage people to understand that it's a tool. It's not the answer. You are the pilot. It's just the co-pilot. And some people are flipping that around.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you go in and you're filling this out, and if someone were to ask you about it, you wouldn't even be able to explain it, because it's not your word. It's not your voice. It's not uniquely you.
Mm.
So use AI as a tool. It'll help you generate ideas. It'll help you come up with what else you might could say about that. But it's a rough draft. You really need to spend time making sure that your unique experience, that's going to make your resume stand out. And only you can add that. AI can't add that. AI is not you. AI is not your human experience. And so that's what we need to see and feel, even in a resume.
When you look at those job descriptions before you apply, how can you use those job descriptions to better create a resume that'll get you through to that first round of interviews, Lanice?
So I'll give you a quick example. Say if the job description says that they need someone who knows how to organize or manage customers' information, right? So a basic resume would just say, I manage customer files. But what you want to do, again, is put some more information into that. So instead of just saying you managed customer files, you would say something like, I streamlined 500-plus customer files, which reduced processing by 20%. So you give them a little bit more than just the task, okay? You have to give them, even in the resume, a short, now it's not long, a short result to that. That's going to make them see you and say, oh, okay, that's going to make your resume stand out from the next person, and you both could, especially if you're looking at someone with similar experience, similar skills, who is sharing with me a little bit more, oh, I need someone who can cut our time by 20%. How much money could we save then, or what else could we be focusing our energy on if we could do that?
How dangerous is it to stretch the truth, whether it be in a resume or a interview, about your abilities?
I encourage people to not do that.
But it could get you the job.
Because you're stretching the truth to get in a position, and you're not being truthful, you're not being honest, so then you will be expected to do that which you promised. And so now you are not trustworthy. If I can't trust you in the front end, how am I going to trust you in the end? Even if you say they don't let you go for that, that can impact their perception of you, right? Well, you said that you knew how to do this, this, and that, and now we see that you don't. Yes, you're a great worker and everything, but can I trust you now? So it's really important. And then if you do that, then you are missing out on the great things that you can do. So be honest. I don't know how to do that, but I'm willing to learn. I learned A, B, and C that I didn't know before. I'm willing to learn that. But let's focus on what you can do, and let's highlight that, because you don't want to get in a role and then be deemed as someone who was not honest.
What happens when somebody is laid off and loses their job? What's the first step they should take, and how should they move forward once they find themselves without employment?
Losing a job, first of all, I just want to honor the fact that that is a moment of grief, right?
Yeah.
So it's like a setback, and you want to allow yourself time to grieve. So the first thing I would do is take a deep breath. Understand, you know what? I lost a job, you know, and especially, again, our job is a lot of time attached to our identity. But honor the mourning. Grief isn't just about death, but it's also about any significant loss. Losing a job can mean losing your identity, your daily routine, the community. You build a community with people, your sense of security, and it happens all at once. So it's okay to mourn. That is normal. That happens. But we want to transition from mourning to growth, right? Because that's where we have to start taking the steps. And it doesn't mean that what you lost didn't matter. Because it does. It means that you're choosing to let your experience reshape you rather than define you. So start with small things. What can you take control over, right? I can update my resume right away. Mm-hmm. So I can do that. I can call and connect with and network with family and friends. I can do that. But once you do that, we definitely want to encourage you to come to the Job Center, Wisconsin. Come to the Job Center, right? Or you can go online, Job Center, Wisconsin. But we want to make sure that you're doing all the different steps to apply for unemployment to see if you're eligible. And you'll be surprised. I get people who say they don't want to apply for unemployment because they don't want to take a handout. This is not a handout. This is a benefit that can help you while you are transitioning, right? So you want to come in. You want to do that. You want to talk before when you lose your job too, you want to find out from your employer, is there severance? Is there unused leave time? Mm-hmm. Is there continuation with health care? There's some things that you may want to do. And again, coming in and talking with someone, especially when we're grieving, because let's remember, we're grieving this. Sometimes we don't think about all the stuff we need to do. And that's why it's good to have another perspective and someone that you can trust and talk to. And someone that deals with this, like we deal with this every day. So someone you can talk to about the process and things that you can do but you definitely want to register on Job Center Wisconsin. You want to apply for unemployment. You also may want to get food share and maybe see if there's some other benefits. The training that we talked about that you could take advantage of at that time. And again, this is not a handout. This is a hand up. These were built for safety nets for situations such as this.
I'm so glad you mentioned the grieving process that comes with losing a job. But there's also the feeling of rejection that comes with applying for jobs. Before I was hired by Wisconsin Public Radio, that was a process of applying at 100 different radio stations all across the country just in hopes I could find one. And fortunately for me, one was right here in my home state. So I feel like I got lucky there, but I also remember the feeling of rejection after rejection after rejection. And there is an emotional component to this, Lanice, and it seems like you have the tools to help us deal with it.
Definitely, definitely. There is very, very much. You deal with, and I'm glad you brought that up, rejection. That is a real feeling. And we have to remember that, try not to take it personal. They don't know you, right? So they're not really rejecting you. They're hiring who they feel is best for that role in that position. And just because they didn't pick you doesn't equal your value or your worth. And so it's so important that we continue, because this can become an emotional toll, is that we have to continue a routine. What I see sometimes is when people lose a job, we can become in a desperate mode, right? Mm-hmm. And then we spend all this time looking for a job, calling, outreaching. We're getting rejections. No one's calling us back. No one's reaching out. And then you can get in this cycle. We have to have a routine, because routine provides stability. So just like when you go to work, you have set hours when you're looking for employment. You set hours. You take breaks. Guess what? You still do your social outings, right? You might have to limit that once you look at your budget, but you still live life, right? You still live your life, and that will help you to move forward. Lean on your community. A lot of times what happens is people will isolate because, again, our identity is attached to this. Who am I now? No one wants me. And then we will come up with reasons in our own head. Why? Well, maybe because I'm overqualified. Maybe because I'm my age. Different reasons why that we're not getting called back, when a lot of times it's just shifting our perspective, getting that help within the community. That's why you don't isolate. Talk to your family, your friends. And it's funny. A lot of us, we have our family, right? And we kind of know what they do. But do you know all they do? Do you know the networks they're connected to? Someone in my own family was looking for a job, and she was like, "Oh, I reached out to my cousin, and I asked her about where she works and who is a manager, and come to find out, the lady was a manager and all this." So she didn't even know this, and she ended up getting a part-time job with them, right? And so sometimes we don't even know within our own families, within our own networks, and things of that nature, who does what. So don't be ashamed. This is nothing to be ashamed of. This is a shift, right? And so, you know that old saying, closed mouths don't get fed. Well, proudly say I am. You might not be the current director of communication, but I am a communicator. You still have the skills. You just don't have the title with that company. So remember that as you move forward, and celebrate your wins along the way. You're not trying to get through this transition. You're building towards it. You're moving forward.
Lanice Reynolds, our guest, workforce director in Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington counties for our State Department of Workforce Development. And if you've got career questions, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. If you've got stories about changing careers midstream, also invite you to join us, 1-800-642-1234, or you can always send us an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, and you're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. Larry Mueller is back with you live tomorrow from 11 to 1, and you'll be joined by the editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, Mike Bino, with their December-January issue, Hot Off the Presses. Don't miss that. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, and our guest is Lenice Reynolds. She is a workforce director for our State Department of Workforce Development. And we're talking about what it would take to change careers, how we can find a better work-life balance or improve our work life. And if you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email talk at WPR.org. And here's a logistics question, Lenice, that I've heard, you know, both ways. Amy from Milwaukee emailed us and wants to know whether or not a resume needs to be kept to one page, or can it be more than one?
That we get asked that all the time. Yeah. And so the truth of the matter is we encourage one page, but if it's two pages and it's relevant information and it applies to the job, you can definitely have a two-page resume. The most important thing to do is look at that job description and how does your resume line up to what they're looking for, right? And sometimes we say it's so important. Placement, location is important. So if you're applying for a job and say that the education is relevant because you got a certificate in that and things of that nature, and but maybe your work experience is kind of farther down, then you may want to move your schooling to the top so they see that right away. So everything is relevant to the job that you're applying for. But we definitely encourage the most important thing, because you have to remember sometimes that the tracking system, the automated tracking system, is reading these resumes, and, or if it's a human going through the resumes. If it's too long and it's too much information, are you grasping their attention? So you have about 10 to 15 minutes, right? I mean, 10 to 15 seconds, I'm sorry, for them to think about that. If you were looking at your resume in 10 to 15 seconds, is what you're saying standing out to what they're looking for on that job description?
10 to 15 seconds. Would your resume jump out in that amount of time? And if not, what can you do to make it different? That's a great question, Lenice. And again, the Job Center Wisconsin has resume help available, as well as all the job center locations around the state.
That is correct. Again, we don't want you to do this alone.
Yeah.
Look at us as your valuable partner. We want to be partners with you on your job search. We want to help you, because again, you want to get a different perspective. You don't want to get stuck, and you want to know what's available, what's out there. So it's a good opportunity to connect with someone, and also then to find out what career fairs are going on, job fairs, employers that are going to be on site, so you can make those meaningful connections with employers as well. And so connecting with us, just getting on our – we have an email list that you can get on, email blast list once you register, where you can just stay up to date with stuff in your area of what's going on. But also, you know, AI, text messages, all this stuff, all those tools are great. They're tools. But we cannot forget the human connection, right? So it's something about connecting and talking with someone about what's going on and getting some advice and getting some direction as well. So use the other tools, but also use the tools of humans. Connect, talk, release.
Connect, talk, release. We heard from David in New Richmond earlier, who talked about the 72-year-old friend who changed careers, or his friend who changed careers at the age of 72. David also says there's a lot of opportunities out there for representing products from other companies, working from home, a way you can make your own business or develop your own business. And David says he wishes there would be more encouragement for people to be self-employed. Well, talk about a scary landscape just looking for a job, the landscape of starting your own business. Lenice, I'd say that's more daunting, but also potentially more rewarding.
I would agree with that. There are definitely opportunities for that. And actually, DWD, we just partnered with small business clinics, and they just have one in Waukesha area, but they've been going around the state, and they're going to be the next location is going to be in Fond du Lac at the beginning of the year. And so this is a great opportunity for those people who want to start their own business, want to know what resources are out there, what's available to them, because now you would be an employer, right? Mm-hmm. And so you want to know, how do you get that started? If I need help, what do I need to do? So again, connecting to the Job Center Wisconsin, once you're on that, you will get the email blast of different people we partner with, such as the Small Business Clinics. And again, they are sharing that kind of information because that is a real option for some people.
Sure. And
to
so
start their own business. And it can be scary if you don't have those right connections.
Oh, and David, I'm glad you followed up with us. Thank you for that. And on the flip side of that, there's the idea of maybe I want a little part-time work, or maybe a side hustle's right for me. How do I find the right one, or the one that's fulfilling, that would be worth my time on the side, Lanise?
So a lot of things we have to do is we have to try, right? And so some things we don't know if we'll like or if we don't. And so even during your transition, if while you're looking for employment, don't be afraid to volunteer, right? Try some new things. See what you like. See what you might feel called to, because you may find something new just by doing that. But of course, you can use our website and you can select. There's drop-down boxes where you can select if you want full-time, part-time, things of that nature. So you can look that way to see as well if there's some part-time opportunities that are posted. But definitely, I would say volunteer. That is another option to kind of see, do I like this? Is this something that I want to spend my time in? And you may, and again, this goes to networking, you may even find your next job through volunteering.
Putting yourself out there and making yourself available, being open and being flexible, these all sound like qualities you're going to have when it comes to switching careers, finding better employment, becoming self-employed, or just grabbing a side hustle, Lanise. I got a call here from Bill in La Crosse. He couldn't stay with us, but he wants to point out that working for a small business or company can be very different from working for a larger company. And could you address some of those differences?
Oh yes, it's different just because the amount of staffing that they have, and maybe the amount of resources and access that they have. So that can definitely have a different feel with it. A lot of times you have to have more flexibility and sometimes more grace, right? When you're working with a startup company or a smaller company, maybe some of the resources that a larger company will typically have, a smaller company might not have. But then on the other side, a smaller company, definitely, you might have different things such as a more connection, right? Because you see the CEO, you talk to the CEO, there may be a total different type of feel. And so I think it's really finding what's right for you, and what's right for you today might be different 5-10 years down the road. So that's why I say always be open to flexibility, be open to adapting and seeing what is right for you, because something can change based on your health condition. Something can change based on your family situation. Some things can change financially. You might be okay, but you just want to do something that's impactful and meaningful. So maybe you would connect to a smaller or startup business. So there's all different types of reasons, but that's why we have to take the time to self-reflect, see where we're at, see what will work for us financially, what will work for us, our family dynamics, what will work for you. And then, again, this is not just a decision on people that you're applying to if they will hire you. It's a decision. I'm looking at what will be a good fit, and those are the places that I'm applying to from the beginning.
Lanise, you have handled all of our questions today, and this one might be a little astray, so I understand but I am curious about how you express confidence when you're going into an interview and you're nervous, when you're entering a new job and you don't know whether or not you're going to be a good fit. How do you present yourself with some semblance of confidence, even though on the inside you may just feel like jelly?
That's a good one. And the truth is, everyone has felt nervous at some point, even if it's not during the interview. There's been some point in our life that we have felt nervous, right? The people who seem confident, they have learned to just channel that nervous energy into enthusiasm, right? Everyone feels nervous, but it shows that you really care. True confidence isn't about the absence of fear. It's the willing to move forward despite the fear, right? So we have to reframe our mindset. Nervous equals excitement because our body reacts the same thing. So let me not think, when we're nervous, we think we're going to mess up. Uh-huh. Something bad is going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
What if they don't like me? What if? When we're excited, we can't wait. We want to do it. So change your mind frame from I'm nervous to I'm excited because I'm interested in this job, because I know that I have the skill set. So when you're feeling nervous, tell yourself, no, I'm not nervous. I'm excited. And what does that mean? How am I going to show up? So that's one thing. Remember your worth. And I said this before. This job does not hold your future in their hand. This is a conversation. You both make that decision, right? Is this a journey we both want to take together? So whether they choose you or not, you still have control. You still have power. So don't put all the work in one job. And so, again, practicing and things of that nature, that will help you feel more confident too. But remember your worth, and remember, again, what? You are not alone. We are here. We will help you. We want to help you. Visit us at CenterWisconsin.com.
Kind of a revelation to me that the feeling of enthusiasm and nervousness are the same. It's just the different way we process them in our bodies or in our heads. And if we were to take that and change the thought process to, boy, I'm feeling nervous, to, boy, I'm feeling enthusiastic, it may change our outcomes. I really appreciate that. Where did you learn all this? Where did you get your job training from? I mean, you've got this backwards and forwards, and I couldn't throw you a curveball if I tried here, Lanice. So what's your background?
Well, I think it's because I've been with in this position 17 plus years. So
wow.
I've been here a while, and I'm still excited. I still love what I do. I still love the fact that we help to connect people. I still love the fact that we can meet someone literally in the biggest moment of their life, and then we can provide them hope. We can let them know that they can do it. We can provide them that there's light at the end of the tunnel. So just having conversations and honestly hearing results, seeing people's life change. And it's just, you know, you take those experiences and you have them with you. You carry them with you. And it's such an honor to be able to serve people and to be able to help people and to be able to remind them of their work, that they're not just their career. They're more than that. And that it's a gift to be able to be at any company, right? And so just reminding people of that, I think that has helped me. That has fueled me. That continues to fuel me. And I literally enjoy what I do. I literally just love helping people.
And it shows. But what would you say has changed the most in your role with the Department of Workforce Development over those 17 years, Lanice?
I would say recently with just the change in how we service people, and it's been a good change. At first, when it first happened, and what I'm talking about is going like to remote and hybrid models, because everything was all in person. Everything was in person. So at first, it's kind of scary. How are we going to serve the people this way? Is this going to work? Are we still going to have the impact? But what we found, and what I personally found, is that we can have a huger impact. Now, people can reach us no matter where they're at. We can serve people across. I can be in Milwaukee and help somebody in Superior virtually, right? Because I'm sharing those skills. And so we're not just dependent on staff in one area, right? We are able to spread the wealth, spread the knowledge. We are able to meet people where they're at with us going to the libraries now and going to other outreach sites. It's just been such a beautiful shift that I think was needed. And also it helps people to not have any barriers to get to us. You know, sometimes you're trying, when you lose your job, especially, you're trying to see, how can I save on my finances?
Yeah.
So if I can meet you virtually, let me do that, because I still want the service, but I'm being very conscious of my finances. So I just think that the shift has been great. That's one of the biggest shifts that I've seen, and I think that it has definitely been beneficial.
With the 1 minute that we have left, Lanice, if you could leave our listeners with one message about navigating their careers and their lives in this season, what would it be?
I would just say that you have more power than you think. Whenever you're facing a layoff or you're thinking about considering a change or you feel stuck, that you're not alone. The one moment doesn't define your future. You don't have to see the whole staircase just to take one step forward. And finally, your resume is not your most valuable asset. It's your willing to move forward. Because if you're willing to move forward, we can help you with your resume. If you're willing to move forward, we can help you with your interview. But you have to be willing to move forward and partner with us. And together, we can move forward on your journey.
JobCenterWisconsin.com. And real quick, Patrick emailed us to echo what you were saying about channeling the nerves to enthusiasm and mentioned this quote, "Courage is the strength to act wisely when you are afraid." Might have even gotten the quote from a different show right here on NPR. Patrick says thank you, and we thank you as well. Lenise Reynolds, thank you so much for your information today, and it was a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Lenise Reynolds is a workforce director in Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington counties for the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today, and Larry will be back live tomorrow with the editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine and their new issue, Hot Off the Presses. Want to thank our team today, Clara Neipert, Joel Patnaud, Jeff Robbins, Jill Nadeau, and of course, Larry Mueller for letting me sit in. It's always a pleasure, and thank you so much. Stay tuned. Lots more in store here on WPR News.